with snow. Okay, we are now officially recording, so I will start. Folks, we have today before us a character by the name of James. A number of James in the Bible. And in your announcements, you will find that the James before us today is James, the brother of Jesus. So if we can, I will just give you a quick bio on him, and then I want to share a couple of thoughts about James and how he reminds me of me, and I learned from him. I've learned some things from his life, and maybe, perhaps, you may see a little bit of you in James also. Maybe you could take something with you based on what we're going to share this morning. The other James that is the noteworthy one, besides the brother of Jesus, was the brother of John, one of the sons of Zebedee. You will remember in Acts chapter 12, Herod was trying to curry favor with the local gendarmes, and he decided to, let's arrest some of these Christians that are causing trouble, and he martyred James, the brother of John. I'll read that to you, Acts 12, 2. It was about this time when King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Acts 12, 2. So that's that James. So now we're back to James, the brother of Jesus. I'm going to read to you how this is not just a tradition, but if you want to look at Matthew 13:33, he was listed among the brothers of Jesus. They say in Matthew 13:33, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Okay, well, does that mean this James that wrote the book of James is the brother of Jesus that's listed here? That might be a common name, James, okay. Well, what about the name Judas? A lot of Judas in there. Well, if you want to turn to Jude, which is a variant of Judas, okay, so in Matthew 13:33, it lists the brothers of Jesus, and lists the last one named Judas, Jude. Look at Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. So, isn't it interesting how he describes himself? He didn't say a brother of Jesus Christ. He didn't say that. He understands, that the relationship has changed. This is not my brother. This is not my older brother anymore. I'm a servant of Jesus, the Messiah. And I'm a brother of James still. So you see, I could maybe just change the name and give this message and call it Jude, right? They grew up together. The same things kind of happened, except for one big thing, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, back to Acts 12, and that'll be the end of that part of the bio, if you want. So after James was killed, if you want to look down, after James, the brother of John, was killed in verse 2, you could go down. Peter was also arrested during this outbreak of persecution, put in prison. God released him from prison through the intermediary of an angel, and he works his way over to the meeting place locally where they used to meet, John Mark's home. And he starts knocking on the door. Nobody answers. And in verse 16, chapter 12, I'll read that to you. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned for them to be quiet and described, be quiet. Now, was he afraid maybe some guards were looking for him and they might hear the ruckus inside, or was he just trying to say something? But either way, I like that. Peter motioned for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Then he says, tell James and the brothers about this, he said. And then he left for another place. So, this is just about 4 years after the crucifixion of Christ. And it wasn't so soon, right during the crucifixion, that none of Jesus' family, earthly family, really believed in him. I'll read something that will confirm that to you when he was making his visit to Jerusalem and in John, but we'll get there. So James, apparently, in those 4 years, has become a pillar in the church. Paul calls him that later on in the book of Galatians. He says, when Paul went to Jerusalem, he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. So these were esteemed pillars of the church in Jerusalem. So James is this man now. Okay. So we're going to go back in time when James was a younger man, maybe in his late 20s. You know, Jesus was the oldest, and James was listed as among the brothers of the eldest brother after Jesus. So maybe, you know, he's just a few years younger than Jesus. So perhaps at this time, if Christ was around 32, maybe James was in his late 20s or 30 perhaps. You could turn to Mark chapter 12 if you want, verse 20. I'll also read it. And the backstory is Jesus just got done appointing the 12 apostles. And he enters a house nearby. He's up north in the Galilee area. And so this is the beginning of the second year of the ministry. You know, Jesus did not have the apostles during his first year. He was still walking around and checking things out and looking at people. So when he called these men, it wasn't the first time he met them. He had met them earlier. And then he said, these are the 12. So he appointed them. And then he enters the house. Are you with me? Okay. Mark chapter 12, verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Yes?
What verse is that?
We're at verse 20. 12:20, yeah?
No.
Let me see. Oh, excuse me. I copied and pasted a bad chapter. Okay. Well, okay, stick with me. We'll find it. So he found out that he was crazy. They said, "This we come to get him because he's crazy." I think maybe that was... That was 3 verse 20, I'm sorry. Yes, 3 verse 20. Then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. That was Mark 3 verse 20, excuse me. Out of his mind. So, my question, this thing I have for us this morning to think about is, how does a man go from believing that Jesus is out of his mind, he's crazy, to believing he is the Messiah? How does that happen? You believe... I just can't believe that. Think about your own family. Think about the people, if you had siblings, think about the people you grew up with. And let's say they become a famous person. A noteworthy, a notable historical person, not just an average person who maybe writes a book and they get a few interviews. But let's say that they become a world player. I would understand if you're maybe in a little awe, maybe wondering how my own very own brother became this person, or my very own sister. How does she? Wow, that's really amazing. How you know? But could you even imagine thinking that your brother is the Messiah, and everything that goes with being the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, God Himself? I mean, could you even come to that place of your mind? Just think about that. That's unbelievable. I could not fathom that. So we read one more story of James later on, and this reference will confirm that he was not a follower of Jesus, even later on in his life, even after seeing 2 years of Jesus' ministry, he was still not a believer. So about 2 years after the event where the family thought that he was crazy, you could turn to John chapter 7. And we're going to double check that. Okay. Because I do the copy and paste. And okay. John chapter 7. It is correct. I will confirm that we're in John chapter 7, verse 1. So we're looking at one of the last visits Jesus makes. This is towards the beginning of his third year of his ministry. So James is watching. They're seeing all the stuff he's done. After this, Jesus went around Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because of the Jews were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples, they make a distinction between them and his disciples. So they're not disciples of Jesus. So that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. All right, so it's obvious that these guys who grew up with Jesus did not believe in him. But yet, we see that James did come to faith in Jesus. So how do you go? Not James, but how did I go? How did you go from unbelief? And whatever variant of unbelief you had, maybe it was outright rebellion, maybe it was a scoffer, maybe it was just a laziness, maybe it was inattentiveness, maybe you just didn't even think about Jesus. How did you go from there to here? How did that happen? Well, I will let you know later, but stand by for the rest of the story. If you don't mind, if you would just work with me on this analogy, it's not the best one, and you can poke a lot of holes in this. I have myself, but just work with me because I need to do this. Okay, so in the revelation of John, Jesus gave to John, in chapter 3, he's describing different types of churches. And however you want to see those, as church ages or epochs or belief structures, different churches, and there was a certain church in Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 20. And Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone answers, I will come in and we'll enjoy a meal together. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. So, that's the analogy I want to use. Okay. Now, imperfect analogy, but I'm saying this because in a way, James and Jesus were like neighbors. See, James, they grew up together. James shared a house with Jesus, but he didn't share his heart, right? And most of us went through that stage. Jesus and James, James lived with Jesus, but Jesus didn't live in him. Christ in him, Christ in you. We sort of walk, we're peripheral. It's kind of like a neighbor who comes over, knocks politely, visits for a little bit, and then they go. That's kind of how Jesus was with his brothers. He was with them, but he wasn't. I think John chapter 1, there's a verse that says, he came to his own, like the world, his own things, his own stuff, but his own, and without getting into the grammar, but I mean, his own people. This is talk, it's people. But his own people. So he came to his own thing, his earth. This was his. He made this. This is his earth. So he came to his own earth, but his own people, his own, and you can start with the family, the nuclear family. His own family didn't receive him. So James was one of them, and he could branch out. Jerusalem didn't receive him. The Jews, his own Jewish people, didn't receive him. And then it goes on and on, and whatever. You and I, we didn't receive him, even though we're his. So somehow James started moving in a direction. But his brother was not his redeemer, see? Jesus was not his savior. It was just a brother. And how well do they know each other? I'm going to say not well, because after seeing the miracles of Jesus, and seeing whether it was a supernatural, what he heard, what he saw, it wasn't enough to make him put his faith in this man. Maybe that was just too much. Could you have done that with your brother if you saw him do something mystical and magical, miraculous? Could you come to the point where you say, I'm going to follow you. I believe you are the Messiah. Well, Peter was able to, but you know, when you're with family, as Jesus said, a prophet has no respect among his own townsmen, his own people. And that's just a reality. So how he goes from being a person who believes Jesus is crazy to thinking he's your glorious Savior and Messiah. Okay, I will tell you, but not right now. Well, anyway, the problem is that James is a religious man. Again, thank you, Dwayne. I think about that a lot, because I was raised kind of religious. So a religious person does all the right things, but misses the big thing, the one big thing, he or she misses it. And that was me. I had no idea who Jesus was, but I was baptized. I did my communion. I did my confirmation, where I received the Holy Spirit. You know that? Yeah. I was like 9 or 10 years old. The Archbishop Cam right there. Dermot something. I have my actual card where it proves that I received the Holy Spirit when I was there. It's true. They issue you a card. I still have it. And I'm gonna take it with me just in case they want proof up there. And I'm gonna say, look. But I'm coming over here. My buddy Gilbert's gonna. Gilbert knows Indian, so he knows how to do this. All right, thank you. Okay. So I'm a religious man. I'll just say, let's point the fingers at me. I was raised a certain way to do certain things and, you know, do all the prayers and everything. I had no idea who Jesus was. He might as well have been my neighbor and come and have a soda pop with me and go your own way. I know him, but I don't know him. So this is looking really bad. I remember when we went to Peru, we were all supposed to put together a testimony and have it ready and make it be about 3 or 4 minutes. I forgot, Gilbert, what it was, but I shared mine a couple of times, and my theme was, it was, for me, growing up, it was like, God was like, Jesus was like a vaccination. I had just enough of him to keep me immune from the real thing, and that's what religion does. It gives you just enough of a dose to keep you off the real thing, so the real dose never gets a hold of you. And it worked. I was immune from Jesus until I was 19 years old.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Well, it's true. So how do you get past that? When it's looking bad. How do you get past that? When everything just around you and what's built into you is to keep you away from what's really true, who the real Jesus is, where he just stays a persona in history, but not your Savior. You never call him glorious. I never once referred to Jesus as my glorious Savior. Never, because he wasn't. Okay, so how did it happen? I told you I was going to read you one more thing. And if you want to go look at it, 1 Corinthians 15:6. There was one more part about James's bio that I did not read, but here is the answer to how James somehow went from calling Jesus crazy to calling him my glorious Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. So I'll start a little bit before that. Verse 3. For I receive what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Bingo. There it is. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. Then he appeared to James. Paul then says later on, just one verse later, verse 10, he says, But by the grace of God that was in me, I did these things. By the grace of God, James met Jesus as he really was. You know, when John was described as being the apostle who was like in the bosom of Jesus, so close to him, even at the Last Supper, he was right there, had the best spot, just right there with him, the one who loved Jesus. And yet, when the revelation of Jesus came to John, and he was taken to this vision to see this, he fell at his feet as though he were dead. Jesus is different now. It's a different Messiah. It's a glorious, just Jesus, the glorious Christ Messiah. He's different. And it takes something else to meet him. He's not your brother anymore, James. He went from believing Jesus is crazy to believing he's the glorious Messiah. He actually says that later on in James, towards the end of the chapter there, verse 1, he says, chapter 1. He says, our glorious Savior. Now, that's a beautiful story. And so maybe I could put it to you in another way. We all had to go to that place of unbelief to belief, to thinking of him differently than what we thought of before. It takes an act of God in your heart, in my heart, to do that. And so I want to read you something here that makes me think of James when he was growing up with Jesus. Just a brother. And then what happened to him later? And yet at the same time while this was all going on, the plan for James meant God loved him already. Jesus already loved him. Yeah, from the beginning of eternity, Jesus has already died for James and had rescued him from his sins and loved him and accepted him, even while this was all going on. And I'm just, what's the word when you cheat, when you steal somebody's stuff? Like in a test? You're plagiarized. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I've plagiarized. You'll get this right after I say about five words of this. You'll know what I'm saying. James, did you know that your brother would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your brother has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your big brother, you kiss the face of God? You will, James. Oh, James, you will know. And you will go from believing that your brother was crazy to believing he was the Messiah. So James found favor in the eyes of God. There's where did that come from? That's one of the most beautiful verses. When you're so depressed reading the book of Genesis, you come to chapter 6, and it looks really bad for the earth. The flood's coming, and it just doesn't look good. And verse 6, verse 8, something like that? And Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And James found favor in the eyes of God. Y'all found favor in the eyes of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, we can only say you are a glorious Savior now. We know that. We have nothing else to describe you but the words that have already been ascribed to you. You are a glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And we just have been able to read the story of this one man's redemption who you know him from an earthly perspective, probably closer than anybody else. And yet, you saw in him redemption. And this was his story, it is our story, and all we could do is say, thanks be to God for our glorious Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think that's all for now. Thank you.